Would you turn to John chapter 6? John's Gospel chapter 6. And everybody in here, I believe, is born again. I don't see anybody new that I don't know. So John's Gospel chapter 6. And today I want to teach on this, was the law of faith. The law of faith. You ever wonder what makes things work? What keeps the gears running and the oil on the gears and keeps the cogs meshing and everything in this understanding of God's grace in our lives? And God's grace is literally, okay, it's much more than just the favor of God. It's His ability to do in and through us the works of God. It's His ability for the supernatural to operate. It's His ability, to take us out of where we've been, put us someplace new. It's got nothing to do with us. But what it takes and what it requires is faith. Faith is what makes the engine turn. Grace is supplied. Right? This is a grace teaching church. Grace is given. It's already done. Salvation has been poured out to everybody that would receive. And the differentiating thing that I had said before during communion is that God loves the world. The difference is, we're His kids. We're His kids. There is a difference in this love. And you can go back and study it all out. But there is a difference. And so, the law of faith has been given to us to operate in, with an expectation to see the results of what His promises are for us in every area. We don't always apply faith. Really, we don't. So here's my charge, here's my challenge today is, are you operating in the law of faith? Because faith is a law, isn't it?
Yeah.
Faith has been around forever. And God has given us the law of faith to operate in. We're either operating in it or we're not. One or the other. Now, this is not to be condemning. It's to be a revelation. Oh, my gosh. Am I or am I not operating in the law of faith? And we'll get to this in a minute more. I'd like to read from John's Gospel, and I've got the time to do this. I didn't know if I was going to this morning, so let me do this. John chapter 6, let me outline the context of this chapter. In this chapter, Jesus is the bread of life, ultimately. Bread of life means, literally, the sustenance, the provision, the everything, the need meter for everything for us that has to do with eternal life forever for us, all the promises encapsulate. He is the bread of life in every aspect of our lives. That's the, if you want to outline, underline kind of everything in this chapter and sum it up in just one statement, but there's much more. So we begin this chapter with Jesus feeding over 5,000 people. Now, if you can imagine, Rosie and I used to go to a mega church at one time, and there were 10,000 people in the church. And I would look around and I'd go, oh my gosh. And I would imagine this picture of Jesus feeding men, women, and kids from a few loaves and fish and be just flat amazed. If you can get this picture in your head, it will boggle your mind. So Jesus is feeding all these people. And to synopsize this, what He's doing, let me just back up here for just a moment. Jesus has all these people around Him and they're searching, they're hungry. They're physically hungry. They're hungry for something. They're searching for something to be filled, this big empty hole inside. Nobody's born again. And they're following Jesus to find out what this is. And so Jesus, the bread of life, ultimately, says, I want you guys, his disciples, I want you to feed this group of people. Now you got 12 guys there with him and they got to be going, you got to be kidding. I'm really paraphrasing this, okay, to make these points. But you've got to be kidding. So what do you have, guys? Jesus asked, what do you got? What do you got to work with? Well, we got some loaves and we got a couple of fish. Okay, bring them to me. He blesses them. He breaks them. He hands them, splits them up, and gives them to his disciples. And he says, you go feed them. And of course, they fed everybody and they filled everybody up and they had food left over. Everybody ate as much as they want. And they were satisfied. This is a type of the gospel. You see, Jesus, the bread of life, broke the bread. The bread represented the sustenance, the supply, the provision, the satisfaction, the reality of God taking care of every aspect of their needs. That was the type. But he gave the bread to his disciples to feed the people. The disciples were to take the message of the gospel, of this provision, of this answer, of this what's going to satisfy them, this eternal life to the people. And that's what has been happening for centuries. It is a picture of the reality of the gospel in our lives. Now, Jesus, after this event, he sends his disciples across the lake, go to the other side, and then he hangs back and he spends time with the Father. And in the middle of the night, he walks across the water and he gets in the boat and then they're at the other side. And the people cross the lake and they say, when did you get here? And what they were saying was, how did you do this? Really, how did you do this? They're looking at a man. The concept of God in the flesh is really elusive to them. And truthfully, if any of us saw Jesus at that time, it would be a little difficult. Because we'd be seeing somebody in the flesh. We'd be seeing a man who was God in the flesh. How did you do this? So I want to start in verse 26 of chapter 6. Jesus answered them with their questions and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs. It wasn't just the bread feeding the 5,000. Jesus had healed people of all kinds of diseases and cast out all kinds of demons. Not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. You wanted your wants met. You got them met. You wanted your what you felt like or your need. You got it met. And that's what you're going after. Satisfy your flesh. And Jesus said in verse 27, do not labor. Don't labor. Don't work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man, Jesus, will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. He is the anointed one. He is the Savior. Verse 28, they said to him, now here it is. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Good question. And that's kind of underlying this message today. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Because they're seeing Jesus and they're seeing the, how did you get here on this other side? How did you cast these demons out? How did you heal all these sicknesses and diseases? How did you feed these thousands of people from almost nothing? We want to work the works of God. Do you ever feel like that? I mean, this is a full gospel, charismatic, Pentecostal, grace teaching, full Word of Faith Church, I guess you could call it, huh? Right? That is the foundation of what we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the power of God. We believe in the equipping of the saints. We believe in the reality of operating in the supernatural, don't we? Well, they wanted to do all this too. They saw it and they wanted to operate. They wanted to work this way. Well, they wanted to do things like this. They saw Jesus, the man, and they said, I want to do this too. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? And this is what Jesus said. This is the work of God. Here it is. I'm giving you the bottom line. That you believe in him whom he sent. Jesus is conveying rock bottom how we do this stuff. How we live this way, how we really live in the grace of God. I mean, the fullness, how we live in this eternal life. And it's believing in him. It's not believing, I just believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe it, okay? But it's with the core of everything we are, this is faith. This is the beginning of the law of faith coming into operation in our lives. This is how this works. I believe in the core of my being, and nothing's going to sway me from this in my mind, my heart, my whole life, my core, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is the Savior, is the one who paid the penalty, is the one of my sins, is the one who has given me the promises of God, is the one who's given me, made me an heir of salvation, is the one who's been the carrier for all the promises of God to get to me. He's made the way. Jesus, I believe. That's where the law of faith begins to take place. Now, our belief, you know, we can read in Romans chapter 3 and 4 about Abraham and being fully persuaded, and understand that faith and being fully persuaded isn't just a mental thing. And this is what we do. We take faith, we take the law of faith, and we want to operate in the law of faith. We want to do the works of God. But here's the problem. We only know it mentally. This is something like this, or what we can do when we believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we have made this transference from this old non-existent person anymore into a brand new creation, we don't get what we have. We don't get it. We don't understand it. And that's why it's so hard to live it. Because we don't really get our new identity yet. And who he is in reality. So, we want to live in the supernatural. We do. Our new person, our new life, our new reality, our new everything that we are wants, desires, and craves to live in the supernatural. But it is the law of faith that has to take place in our lives in all these areas. It's a reality because we can do this. Okay? The law of faith is being established in us. We're understanding the operation of it, but it takes a little while. It's not just information. The law of faith in action really becomes a part of our experience. That's what God wants to do with us. This is how we work the works of God. Okay. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus said to those who want to work the works of God, and he said, this is it, ultimately, believe in me. That's in me, in all that I am and all that I have done and all that I have given and accomplished for you. Most assuredly, that means for real. Okay. I say to you, he who believes in me, He who believes in me, in all that I am, and all that I've done, all that I've finished, all that I've given to you, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works, this is in volume, many more. Greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. If we don't understand our new identity, and we're not living this reality, then we're not allowing the law of faith to operate in its fullest in our lives. And those greater works that we're given, we're not going to see. We're just not going to see. We're going to struggle with it. And then we're going to bring it back to us and say, what's wrong with me? And what's wrong with how I'm doing this? And what's wrong with you, Lord? Did you make a mistake? Now, those are things that people think. Nobody would virtually say that. I would say that. Because we struggle in our flesh. But ultimately, our desire to work the works of God is based upon the law of faith we operate in. And the law of faith says that I believe that Jesus, the Son of God, my Savior, my Lord, has made me new. I've risen with him from the dead as a new creation. And I have everything that he says I have. And I can do everything he says I can do. And we begin to experience it. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 starts right off with the definition of faith. It's just a definition. And goes right into all the Old Testament patriarchs who operated, who believed, who said, the law of faith is real and I'm going to do it. I'm going to experience it. And they believed God. And they're listed in this, what we call the Hall of Faith, in Hebrews chapter 11. Without faith, verse 6, it is impossible to please him. Now, first, let me clear something up. Most people, I'm not saying you all, but most people generally, when they read this, they think, oh gosh, I'm it's almost like a, he's angry at me. That's the first inclination. He's angry at me, he's mad at me, he's not happy with me. Because I'm not in faith. Because I don't believe him. And that's not it at all. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He loves you and me. He loves us. We're his kids. You can never forget this. It is impossible to please him. To please him means to gratify him. This is an old word. It is impossible to give him pleasure. That's literally in the Greek what it means. To give him pleasure or satisfaction. For the person who comes to God must believe that he is. He is what? That he is God. That he is our Father. That he is Jesus. That he is the Holy Spirit. That he is for us. That he has given to us. That he has done these things. That they are accomplished in our lives. That he is the author and the finisher of our faith. That he is creator of all, above all. must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The diligently seek him is an earnestness of relationship. It's saying, you know, I just want to be with you. I want to talk to you. I want to walk with you. I want to be with you. Like Enoch, the one who walked with God for 300 years and God just took him. He said, listen, let's just get rid of this gap between us and I want to bring you up with me. It's that kind of relationship, just seeking him and this opening our hearts to him and desiring him. But it says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. To be a rewarder in the Greek, and this is the understanding, and don't take this as payment for a job, but it means to pay. Actually pay out. When I lived in Vegas, and you pull the slot machines, or you punch the buttons, or you get on the tables, there's a payout sometimes. And you never know if it's ever going to pay out, and most of the time it doesn't. Has anybody ever been to Vegas besides me? I lived there for a long time. Okay, great. Then you know what I'm talking about. God is a payer, a rewarder of those who seek him. They're looking for him. They're looking for a relationship. They're looking to get established in this understanding and this reality of who he is in their lives. And then those who believe him in what he said. And just say, I'm going to take you at your word. Then the law of faith goes into effect and the payout happens. Everything's already supplied to us, right? Our prosperity, our healings, and so forth. I want to please God. I want him to be happy. See, it blesses him. If we could put this in Christianese, it blesses him. It tickles him when his kids say, I believe you. And I'm going to seek you. I'm going to believe you. Come heck or high water. I'm going to believe you. And I'm going to live that way. And I'm going to experience the fruit of the law of faith. Period. Galatians 5 verse 6. Don't turn there. Galatians 5 verse 6 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. What he's talking about is the difference between the Gentiles and the Jews. The non-covenant, Old Testament, those that didn't have a covenant with God and those who did, based on the law. He says, but here's the reality. In Christ Jesus, it's faith working through love. Our faith and operating in the law of faith explodes when we understand the reality of the love of God toward us. Remember, you're adopted. We're not just the world. He loves everybody, but we're adopted because we've said, yes, you know, I accept everything you did for me. I accept Jesus, what you did, what you accomplished. We're adopted. Sons and daughters. Faith works, expands, grows, accomplishes the works of God when we understand the reality and get the download of his love and begin to just experience his love. Do you know that, and I had taught about this about a month ago now, but about one of the differences in my life was being conscious of God more than I ever have. This reality of being conscious of him in me and surrounding me and all around me all the time and carrying this is the sense is secure and peaceful. I mean, it's real and whole and healing and in my own life, it has, being conscious of God has taken and just kind of set me above the circumstances. And I'm riding high on the eagle's wings, I guess you could say. Okay? We can all do this. But I understand His love in a deeper way than I ever have. It's not just mental. It's not just, okay, I got to have this emotion, which comes and goes. But it's a real conscious sense, regularly, of who He is in me and around me and taking care of me out of love all the time. And healing and prosperity and preservation and righteousness, forgiveness, peace and joy and comfort and abilities to do just rise up. It becomes easy because I'm out of the way. Have I got it? Am I perfect? No. But it makes the law of faith so much easier because we begin to understand faith works through the knowledge of His love for us and being able to live it out. Romans 3:27, Romans chapter 3, verse 27, this is it. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Now Paul is writing about saved by works or saved by grace. He finishes the scripture with no, but by the law of faith. Now the law of faith has been established by God. Any law that is put in place by a greater authority. The greater authority has established a law of faith that operates continually in our lives if we'll follow the law. If we don't follow the law, then we're going to struggle. A lot of times it ends up being works or hard to receive or hard just hard to hear God or hard to realize our new identity or hard to leave the shame behind or hard to trust or hard to, all these difficulties because we're really operating outside the law of faith as His kids. You see, God has said, I want you to operate in the law of faith. You can trust me. I'm a rewarder. I'll take care of you. I'm giving you all this. Here's my word. I breathe my word, life in my life and the eternal life into my word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. I breathe. Get my word into you. Get it into you, into your heart so it's real. Know me. Just know me. Come to me. Believe me. Start working in the law of faith and allow the law of faith to produce what I've given by grace in your life. Relationships. Forgiveness. The power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The reality of relationship with God. Healing, financial prosperity or prosperity in every area, freedom from, I've been addicted to about everything there can be addicted to, freedom to live free from that, freedom to live free from guilt and shame and things that have torn us down, freedom to live free from unforgiveness, freedom to, stand in Him by faith. Everything is by faith in Jesus and what He did. Everything. Restoration. Nothing is left out There is nothing you can think of left out of the operation of the law of faith. It's a law given by Creator God, Father God, Jesus, who we look to. He's our provision, provided it all, and the Holy Spirit. Our new identity, realizing and living in our new identity as Christians and what that really is. Being able to love people that, boy, they just don't like you. I mean, in a reality, in a real sense, not just because I have to. But I want to. It changes our heart. But the law of faith takes effect in our lives if we're willing to operate in it. No matter what you face, see, hear, feel, if you're willing to operate in believing God, believing Jesus, what he did, and saying, taking a hold of it. Remember, his word is God-breathed. It is God-breathed. His life is in his word to us. And when we read his word and we're getting his word, we're hearing his life, we're getting to know him, we're experiencing his love, faith is rising up, and we're beginning to believe him and operate in the law of faith and see more and do the greater works that Jesus said we can do. Amen? Prayer ministers, come on up. Stand up with me, please. We're done. You have to make a decision to do this every time. You don't need to come up, Carmina. You're okay. Every time. Everything. Will you operate in the law of faith or will you not? That's the how-to. On this one, make a decision. You won't regret it. You're a brand new person. You're a brand new creation. You have a new reality. Everything's changed. You can operate in the law of faith in God, what Jesus has done, and you can start seeing the difference and work the works of God. It's real. Real thing. Lord, thank you for this day, this time. Thank you for the law of faith. I'm really glad we've got it. Will you help us to understand and really begin to step out and experience the reality of the law of faith operating in our lives according to this huge measure of grace you've poured out to us? We love you and thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, everybody.